Throughout the case, we didn't believe that we were getting a fair trial, and this decision confirms that suspicion, and we will be presenting evidence of that unfairness to the appeals court.
The NYPD's policing tactic, known as stop and frisk, is an extremely divisive topic with national implications. Supporters say it is a necessary tool for crime prevention. Opponents contend that it has led to routine, wholesale police harassment of young Black and Latino men, an opinion held by Judge Shira Shinlin, who in rendering her decision in the federal class action lawsuit Floyd v. New York, declared stop and frisk, as practiced by the NYPD under Police Commissioner Ray Kelly, to be unconstitutional. Sunita Patel, an attorney who litigated the case for the Center for Constitutional Rights, explains.
The NYPD stop and frisk practices are a violation of New Yorkers' 4th and 14th Amendment rights. The New York Police Department has systematically stopped and frisked New Yorkers without reasonable suspicion that's required under the Constitution and in violation of equal protection rights, which means that the stops are based on race or national origin. According to the United States Supreme Court, the police department has authority and has power to stop and frisk individuals who they believe are engaged in criminal activity or have committed a crime. It is bedrock and fundamental principle that stop and frisk is allowed. What we are trying to achieve is constitutional policing. Problem with the New York Police Department is that you have generalized suspicion. Police officers testified in this case, and supervisors testified in this case, that young male Black is sufficient grounds to stop someone. That is just not individualized, and it's not reasonable suspicion.
Heather McDonald, a fellow at the Manhattan Institute, has written extensively in defense of stop and frisk and rejects the notion that the policy is in any way racially biased.
The advocates complain about the number of stops. They complain about the racial disparities in stops. They have never suggested an absolute number or what they think the racial stop ratio should be given what the crime rates are. I would love to have them step up and actually provide a number. The demographics of crime are not proportionately distributed among different racial and ethnic groups. Blacks are being understopped compared to their crime rates. Blacks are 23% of the population in New York. They commit 80% of all shootings, 70% of all robberies, and 66% of all violent crime. They're 53% of all stops. Whites are 35% of the population. They commit a little over 1% of all shootings and 5% of all violent crime.
Nobody racially profiles, and the fact of the matter is the kids think they're going to get stopped, so they don't carry the gun. And if you can't do that, then, you know, you just turn over the streets to the criminals, literally overnight.
The effectiveness of stop and frisk has come into question, as data from 2011 shows about 700 guns were recovered from about 700,000 stops, a success rate of 0.1%. Still, Police Commissioner Ray Kelly and Mayor Bloomberg cite the Center for Disease Control's study, stating that gun carrying among teens is lower in New York than in any other major American city. But does this justify the practice?
It is a misunderstanding that the only purpose of stop, question, and frisk is to get guns off the street. It is also to avert criminal behavior before it actually becomes a crime. If an officer observes somebody trying all the door handles on a row of cars parked on a street, and he makes a stop and questions that person, that will not result in an arrest necessarily because there won't be evidence on that person to support a probable cause arrest, but a crime will have been deterred. The fact that there are not an arrest or a summons does not mean that somebody was innocent.
Everyone agrees that stop and frisk is constitutional in theory and that the police are required to have individualized suspicion before stopping someone. So how does the NYPD ensure officers have a good reason?
The New York Police Department requires police officers to complete what's called a UF-250 form. Officers can just check boxes. And when you have a system where there's a check of a box and no questioning of the facts underlying the check boxes, you have a supervisory structure that allows unconstitutional policing to happen.
In 2011, close to 50% of the stops recorded that there were furtive movements, and that was the justification for why the person was stopped. Apparently, everything that a Black or Latino young person does in this city is considered furtive. If I see a police officer and I turn the other way, am I suspicious? Maybe I've been stopped numerous times and I don't want to deal with police that day.
I'm 33.
And you say you've been stopped about 25 times in your life?
They will say that it looked like you was fidgeting, or to them, we're supposed to always notice them, and I guess, and if we just do something like digging our pockets, that's we're putting something away or hiding something.
The other day, somebody over here got killed, and they come in and arrested somebody who didn't have ID. He was 14 riding a bike on the sidewalk. Like, y'all should be more into who did that instead of who riding a bike on the sidewalk. That shit got nothing to do with it.
What the police do is they come into a neighborhood like this, and they stop everybody. They don't give a damn. They don't have a description. They just think they're gonna luck up and get somebody. But that's not right. That's against the Constitution, which I carry in my pocket.
Have you ever been arrested after a stop and frisk?
No, never. Not after a stop and frisk.
Anybody you know ever been stopped and frisked and compelled to produce marijuana out of the pocket?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It happens all the time out here. You know, it seems to be the easiest way to lock us up, I guess.
While supporters of Stop and Frisk point to lower rates of gun carrying, Stop and Frisk has also led to a dramatic increase in marijuana arrests.
Yeah, they arrested me after they stopped and frisked me.
For what?
I had a bag of weed on me. Yeah. And I said I do not consent to the search, so they still went down with it. I don't know why.
Having marijuana in your pocket is not a criminal activity in New York City. The police will unlawfully search someone, pull out their marijuana, and then they have grounds to arrest that person because it's in plain view. Sometimes they say, hey, empty your pockets. It's not a consensual encounter. They don't have a choice. They empty their pockets and there might have been marijuana in it.
Even supporters of Stop and Frisk are troubled by its use as a means of making marijuana arrests.
I have a big problem with the officers who were making an arrest for public possession of marijuana as a result of a search. That was clearly a misunderstanding of power or an abuse of power. New York Police Commissioner Ray Kelly agrees with that. He's issued training orders to confirm that that is not the intent of the law.
Despite Commissioner Kelly's admonition, 400,000 New Yorkers have been arrested for minor marijuana charges on his watch, with 50,000 arrests just last year. During the Floyd trial, State Senator and former NYPD Captain Eric Adams testified that Commissioner Kelly admitted to using stop and frisk to instill fear in minority communities as a means of keeping guns off the street.
The NYPD has this very rogue attitude that it's okay for them to engage in unlawful behavior because they're the biggest, because they believe they are the best. We have high-level officials who testified in a manner that makes it very clear that they believe that civilian complaints around stops and frisks are just par for the course. That if officers are out there doing their job, that they will get civilian complaints, which sort of undermines the idea of structural accountability around police efforts.
Judge Shinlin's decision in Floyd versus New York also names an independent monitor of the NYPD. This comes on the heels of the City Council's recent decision to create an NYPD Inspector General. Mayor Bloomberg, whose term ends on New Year's Day 2014, reacted strongly to the verdict.
If somebody pulls a gun and you want to get home to your family, you don't have time to say, well, now, wait a second. The commissioner said one thing, the monitor said another, and the IG said another. By that time, you're dead. And I'd like to see you go to the funeral and explain to the family why their son or husband or father is not coming home at night.
The consequences are massive. A, fiscal consequences. She's going to saddle the department with enormous bureaucracy, give them a federal monitor who will impose preposterous paperwork requirements, mandates for racial data collection. Number two, it is going to make officers unwilling to use their constitutional powers of observation and discretion to question people engaged in suspicious behavior. And eventually, word is going to get out on the street that you don't have to worry about being stopped. Gun carrying is going to go up again. This suit is going to spread nationwide, and it could ultimately put the national crime drop at risk as well.
Stop and frisk is not going anywhere. The police department is going to use it. And in the Floyd lawsuit, we're not seeking to end the practice. I have confidence that whoever the next mayor is and whoever the next police commissioner is will hopefully take a different approach, that they will decide that constitutional policing, non-discriminatory policing should be the law of the land.
In the introduction of her decision, Judge Shinlin made it clear that whether or not stop and frisk is an effective crime preventer is irrelevant. What is relevant is whether or not a policy that allows state actors to interrupt the lives of citizens millions of times over is constitutional.